This is Audible.
Blackstone Audio presents Real Sexy by Megan March. Read for you by Elena Wolf and Sebastian York. 1. Ripley. 20 years earlier.
I ain't going nowhere with you.
My father shouted the slurred words at the officer who walked into the fishbowl only hours after Mama's body had been taken away. I sat huddled in a corner, a pink wood and plastic guitar clutched in my arms. I didn't play it because Mama told me not to when Pop was around. It made him mad. But he was already mad, and Mama was gone. A few hours ago, I needed to pee. I wasn't supposed to be down in the bar while people were there, unless Pop had me doing chores, but the bathroom upstairs wasn't working right. I tiptoed down the stairs, hoping he wouldn't catch me before I slipped into one of the stalls behind the door marked Cowgirls and Mermaids. Except I never made it to one of the stalls. The dingy gray tile floor that I was in charge of mopping was stained dark red with a puddle around Mama. Mama? I whispered, even though I knew she wouldn't answer. She was so quiet, so still. A man lay face down beside her in another dark puddle. The man who gave me the guitar. And he didn't move either. I didn't know where the hysterical screaming was coming from until Pearl, one of the bar regulars I liked to pretend was my gran, burst into the bathroom, nearly plowing me over.
Oh, sweet Jesus! Rip, get out of here! You shouldn't see this!
She gagged before shoving me out the door. But I'd already seen it, and I might have been only 9, but I wasn't an idiot. Mama was dead. The man was dead. And now the police thought Pop had something to do with it. The bar cleared out as soon as word got around why there was a kid screaming in the bathroom, or maybe it was the way I'd run out yelling, Mama's dead. Either way, all the people pushed each other to get out of the bar, even as Pop hollered that they hadn't paid their tabs. Now Pop's face was red as he argued with the policeman.
You don't have a choice, Mr. Fisher. We're taking you in for questioning. Don't worry. Your sister-in-law will stay with your daughter.
Like an afterthought, Pop glanced over at me in the corner, as if just remembering I existed. Aunt Laurelin stood a dozen feet away with my cousin Brandy wrapped around her waist. She was only 6, but she was as mean as any 11-year-old I'd ever met. I didn't have any Barbies left because of her. She'd popped their heads off or cut their hair and drawn on them with markers. When I complained to Mama, she told me I had to share because Brandy didn't have it as good as I did. Her clothes were my worn-out hand-me-downs, and her kids were gray instead of the original white, so I guessed Mama was right. I still thought she was mean, though.
Go on, Frank. I'll stay with the girls. I'll take them to McDonald's for a Happy Meal while the police do what they need to do here.
Aunt Laurelin choked on the last few words.
Don't care where you go. But make sure that bathroom gets cleaned up before I get back.
My stomach twisted at the thought of mopping up those puddles of blood.
9 isn't too young to learn what hard work is. It'll be good for her.
That's what Pop told Mama when she said I shouldn't be cleaning the bar, only the apartment upstairs. Just like every other time, Pop won, and while I pushed the mop over pee and puke, I'd wondered why adults were so gross, even grosser than kids. I didn't dare complain, though, because Pop's temper scared me, especially when his words were slurring like they were now. That meant I'd end up getting smacked.
Let's go, Mr. Fisher. The faster you leave, the faster we get this taken care of,
the police officer with the freshly starched uniform said.
Right, like I really believe that.
But instead of arguing more, Pop actually went with them. I didn't understand why they were taking him, but I guess they had to have a reason or they wouldn't do it. When the door closed behind them, leaving me, Aunt Laurelin, and Brandy alone, my aunt walked behind the bar, grabbed a bottle from the shelf, and poured herself a big glass. From the color, I assumed it was whiskey because that's what Mama liked to drink. Mama's dead. My chest clenched and tears landed on my guitar. Who could do that to her? Pop made her lip and nose bleed the week before last, but he couldn't, wouldn't, right? Aunt Laurelin downed the glass of liquor before pouring some more. When she lifted it to her lips the second time, She paused.
She should have known better.
She whispered the words as tears welled in her eyes.
What?
Aunt Laureline drained the glass and lowered it to the bar.
She should have known better than to get mixed up with Gil. I warned her.
Aunt Laureline huffed out a harsh sound.
I knew messing around with that man wasn't going to get her anywhere good. And see what it got her?
Tears spilled down her cheeks. For the first time since I came out of the bathroom screaming, Esteban, my mama's parrot, piped up.
Dirty whore! Dirty whore!
Aunt Laureline sagged against the bar.
The whole world's gonna say worse, so I guess we better prepare for it. Let's get the hell out of here.
2 hours later, we came back from McDonald's and I stared at the bathroom door. The police were gone, and Mama was too. Aunt Laureline took the bottle of whiskey and disappeared upstairs. I swallowed back the bile as I remembered what Pop had said about making sure the mess was cleaned up. Aunt Laureline sure wasn't gonna do it. When I closed my eyes and saw Mama in that pool of blood, my Happy Meal twisted in my stomach, threatening to land on the floor. They can't make me do it. I won't. But when Pop came back a few hours later and found it wasn't done, he started yelling. Aunt Laureline didn't wake up, and Brandy hid. My tears landed like raindrops as I dunked the mop in the water, turning it red. Goodbye, Mama. 2. Present day. Alone in Boone's empty house, I listened to Esteban squawk in his cage.
Should have known better.
The bird has the most uncanny knack for saying the exact wrong thing at the wrong time.
Shut up. Crackerhead,
he says before rustling his wings and preening. When Anthony came out to the pond on his ATV to let Boone know the cops were here, he didn't say why. Boone hustled down the dock and they talked. From where I sat, I could hear Boone curse before coming back to get me. All the questions were on the tip of my tongue to ask, but I held them back. I figured he would tell me when we got back to the house, but once we got there, everything was a whirlwind. Boone strode to the front door and stepped outside with Anthony on his heels. When they returned, it was for Boone to grab his wallet and press a hard kiss against my lips.
Sit tight. I'll be back as soon as I can.
I couldn't hold my questions in any longer. What the hell is going on, Boone? How could they have a warrant for your arrest? It doesn't make any sense.
I'll take care of it. It's bullshit and an inconvenience, but it'll all be over soon.
That's when the thought struck me. Oh, shit. It's because of Esteban, isn't it? Did Brandy—
It'll be all right. Stay in the house, because guaranteed there are pops out front waiting to get a pick. Keep off that ankle.
Then he was gone, and I was left wondering if Boone is straight up crazy. Stay in the house. Don't worry about it. If that's what he really expects me to do, he's insane. He's been gone 5 minutes, and there's no way I'm going to sit here and wait. This has to be because of Esteban, which means it's all my damn fault. If I didn't love that stupid parrot too much to let him starve under Pop and Brandy's care, none of this would have happened. He's basically mine in every way that matters. You know, except legally. Esteban belonged to Mama, and now Pop. But the only reason he's still alive to talk shit to me is because I've taken care of him for the last 20 years. Pop hasn't done anything but swear at him for as long as I can remember. And I dragged Boone into this mess because I just had to rescue the bird.
Shit.
Is there anything I can't screw up? I shouldn't have asked for his help. I should have asked Hope for her truck and handled it myself. I hobble over to my purse and pick up the phone to call my best friend. Hope has tonight off, and we were supposed to go out to dinner if I was back from Boone's in time. I hate that I've only called her when I need a favor lately, but she knows I'd do anything for her, so that lessens the guilt somewhat. She answers on the second ring, a smile in her voice.
Hey, girl, what's happening? I keep seeing pictures of you and that sexy country boy online. I swear the photographers are having a field day trying to outdo each other. You look so freaking cute together, though.
Do you think you could come get me? A moment of silence hangs on the line before she replies.
Oh, shit, did it already go south? I'm so sorry, honey. What did that jackass do?
I laugh at the quick change in her attitude. That's what you call a true friend. Not in the way you think, but I need a ride, and my car is at your place.
Of course. What's the address?
I walk over to the counter where there are a few pieces of mail waiting to be dealt with, and pick one up to rattle off the address.
I have no clue where that is, but I'll Google. I'll be there as soon as I can. But tell Boone I'm going to castrate him if he hurt you.
We hang up before I tell her he's not here.
45 minutes later, I head to the end of the driveway as I see headlights pull up to the gate. I'm in my jeans from the night before, and a stolen t-shirt of Boone's tied in a knot at the bottom to keep it from hanging down to my knees. From my quick scan of the area, I don't see any sign of cars other than Hope's big truck, but that doesn't mean the pops aren't hiding somewhere. Boone taught me that. How do I open this gate? I mumble. I know Boone has a sensor in his car, but there's no obvious mechanism for opening it from the inside. Am I going to have to climb it? I can just imagine the tabloid pictures and headline. Boone Thrasher's girlfriend so desperate to get away she climbs gate in stolen shirt. But nothing I do will make the thing budge. Out of options, I grab the metal bar and haul myself up. Hope pops out of the truck as I throw a leg over the top. My ankle is throbbing, but thankfully the pain is bearable.
What the hell are you doing?
Hope hurries over to the gate and bear hugs my legs so I can slide down her body. Please let there be a merciful God and no pictures of this. Otherwise, the headlines are now going to read, Boone Thrasher's girlfriend escapes compound into the arms of her lesbian lover.
I didn't have a choice. I had to get out, and I don't know how to work the damn thing. Do you?
She shakes her head.
No? But let's get the hell out of here before someone thinks we're trying to break in and not out.
Crap, I hadn't even thought about that. I round the hood to the passenger side of the truck and climb inside.
How's the ankle? Hope asks as I shut the door.
Still aches, but I'll be fine. I've had worse sprains and kept working. Boone overreacted. To myself, I add. And maybe I'm downplaying it a tiny bit. Hope shifts the truck into reverse and backs out of the driveway.
Maybe so, but it was still super hot to see him go all alpha protective mode and carry you out of the white horse. Have you seen the pictures? I think everyone with a cell phone managed to snap a different angle. Some people are calling him the gentleman bad boy now.
I roll my eyes.
What else did I miss?
One site said you fainted because you're pregnant with his love child.
Hope glances at my giant shirt.
If they see you in that, they'll be on baby bump watch.
This time when I roll my eyes, my vision blurs for a second, and I'm a little concerned I might strain an eye muscle, if that's even possible.
Good God.
I mean, you did go to the hospital right after, and they didn't miss that information.
When I release a low groan, Hope continues.
Did you really think dating him would be easy?
It's on the tip of my tongue to say that we're not dating, but I hold back the protest because actually, I have no idea what we're doing now. Before today, I would have said it's nothing but a rebound fling for Boone, but things have shifted. I don't have an answer for her, so I say nothing. Hope takes a left and heads for the highway, keeping the conversation going without waiting for me to reply.
So you want to tell me what's going on that necessitates a midnight escape plan?
It's not midnight, and I'm not escaping. Hope glances over at me.
You scaled a fence.
I told you I don't know how to open it. Boone and Anthony had to leave in a hurry. I hesitate for only a second before I fill her in on the arrest.
Holy fucking shit. That's going to take all of 5 seconds to hit the news cycle. But what the hell could he be arrested for?
It has to be my fault. I swear to God, if Brandy is behind this, I'm going to rip the hair out of her head like she used to do to my Barbies. Hope knows all about my long-standing issues with Brandy.
You really think she'd do that?
There's not much I'd put past her at this point. When Hope merges onto the highway, she glances at me.
Then we best go find out from the source, don't you think?
3. The open sign flickers in the high window next to the fluorescent fishbowl. The fish blinks as though his light is about to burn out. Except for the few cars belonging to regulars, there are hardly any vehicles parked out front.
Place is hopping, isn't it? Hope says,
sarcasm rich in her tone as we pull around the block to park in the back.
Like always.
Brandy doesn't have a car, but I have to believe if the bar is open, then she's got to be here and working. It's somewhat shocking to think of her getting to work on time and managing to open the place. Then again, now that I'm not here to stop her from skimming unlimited money from the till, she has a better incentive. I shove down the bittersweet pang as I carefully make my way to the back door, my ankle twinging from my climb over the fence. When I push open the door, Earl, Pearl, and Jim are in their customary places at the bar. A quick scan reveals a half dozen unfamiliar faces nursing drinks, and a few pairs of eyes light up when they catch sight of me.
Gossip seekers?
It seems about right. Or maybe they're thinking that if I show, maybe Boone will come too. Glad they don't know the reason that won't be happening.
What the hell are you doing here?
Brandy's voice snaps out from behind the bar like a bullwhip.
You aren't welcome and you know it, so just turn around and crawl back to wherever you came from.
Brandy's face is caked with thick makeup, especially around her cheekbone. Her contouring looks like shit. On a regular day, it's her eye makeup that looks the worst. Heavy eyeliner with even heavier smudging. I close the distance to the bar and stop at the end.
What did you do?
Earl, Pearl, and Jim all hunch forward as though making sure they don't miss a single word of this. Brandy's hand shakes, and she splashes liquor on the wood instead of making it all inside the shot glass.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Bullshit.
I lean in closer and pitch my words low, hoping my audience doesn't hear them.
You called the cops.
Brandy's gaze darts away.
Is this about Esteban? You hate that bird, so this is ridiculous.
I'm not talking to you, she says, her voice low and harsh.
Because you're full of shit. I swear to you that I'm going to make you regret whatever lies you've told the cops. You understand me? They don't take kindly to people wasting their time.
She slams the liquor bottle down on the counter.
That damn bird wasn't yours to take. Uncle Frank was pissed.
That I have a hard time believing. He's wanted to get rid of Esteban for years. No way Pop would go through all this trouble to get him back. Brandy's gaze shifts away again, and my gut tells me I'm missing something, but she's not going to tell me a thing.
Fine. I'll leave, but you better believe I'm going to figure out exactly what you did, and you're going to regret it.
More like you're going to regret getting mixed up with Boone Thrasher. I always knew you were going to be just like your mama. Too bad the bird's not here to call it like it is, but my mom and I see it plain as day.
I know what she's talking about. Esteban's squawking one of his favorite phrases, dirty whore. Then the word mom slams into me.
Wait, what does Aunt Laurelin have to do with anything? Is she here?
Not yet, but she'll be here soon. We're going to turn this bar around and make bank. It'll be just like it always should have been now that you're out of the way.
Laurelin stepped in and ran the bar during those first few weeks after Mama died, and Pop barely crawled out of bed except to get another bottle. Once he pulled himself together, he told her to get the hell out, that he couldn't stand to see her face anymore because she looked too much like Mama. Aunt Laurelin took Brandy and moved to Memphis the next day. I used to wish she'd taken me too, and part of me resented her for leaving me with Pop. I haven't seen her in ages.
I've been trying to dig this place out of a hole for years, and if I couldn't, there's no way you'll be able to.
Brandy flips her hair, drawing my eyes once again to her shitty makeup job.
We both know my mama was always better at serving drinks than fucking the customers, unlike yours.
Shut your damn mouth, Brandy.
Not till you get out of my bar.
Hope steps up beside me, and I can feel the rage rolling off her in waves. If we don't leave now, she might be the one to take out Brandy, and I'm not about to risk my cousin calling the police again.
Fine, I'll go. But first, you have to tell me how you paid the fire marshal fines already and managed to get all those safety upgrades in place.
Brandy's lips twist into a mocking smile.
I didn't.
I shake my head.
You're an idiot. He'll be back, and he'll shut this place down.
With a smug look, Brandy picks at her nails.
Good thing it's none of your business anymore.
The thought of the fishbowl being closed for good tugs at my heart, but there's nothing I can do now. I need to let it go. But how? Good luck. You're going to need it. I turn to Hope. Let's go.
As I follow her out of the bar, a feeling of finality settles in my bones and tears sting my eyes. I'm sorry I couldn't do better, Mama. I pause in the doorway and take one last look behind me. I memorize the smell, the feel, the pictures of the stars on the walls, and tuck it all deep inside me. The best and worst moments of my life happened here, and I'm no longer welcome. The thought burns, and I suck in a breath and bite my lip. I'm not saying goodbye, Mama, because you're not here anymore. It's just a building. When I step outside, a sense of loss threatens to overwhelm me. Once we're in the truck, Hope fires up the engine.
You going to be okay?
I don't really have a choice, do I? Instead of putting the truck in gear, Hope looks over at me.
For what it's worth, I think you made the right decision. Your mom would want more for you than to be trapped in that bar under your dad's thumb. It's time for you to figure out what you want, Ripley. The world's a lot bigger than those four walls.
I know. And I do. Hope is speaking the truth, but I haven't exactly had time to cope with the huge changes in my life, let alone a chance to figure out what I want. Hope pulls out of the parking lot and points the truck in the direction of her apartment.
What now?
Maybe. My phone vibrates, interrupting me. Law's name pops up on the screen. Why would he be calling?
You gonna answer that?
I look at Hope as I pick up the call. Hello?
You still with that guy? The one from last night?
Law's voice is hurried and tense. What are you talking about?
The country singer, Boone Thrasher. Are you really with him?
What does it matter, Law?
It's on the tip of my tongue to tell him there's no chance we're ever getting back together, but he keeps talking.
I got called in to work to do some research for a partner tonight. A criminal law partner that represents Boone Thrasher.
Dread curls in my belly. What kind of research?
Assault and battery. That's what he got arrested for. You really want to date a woman beater, Rip?
4. Boone. It's been a long time since I had my ass shoved in a cell. Back then, I paced the floor, pissed off that I was stupid enough to get caught drinking with my buddies in a building set for demolition the next day, but glad that they'd gotten away, even if I hadn't. My dad didn't speak for most of the ride after he bailed me out a few hours later, but when we got home, he parked the truck in the drive and turned to me. I'm thinking you already know you don't want to be spending any more nights in jail. Somehow, his quiet question made the shame more acute than a tirade would have. No, sir. Then use your head, Boone. The Lord has bigger plans for you than this, so don't prove him wrong. Yes, sir. Apologize to your mama when you get inside. She's been worried sick about you. Yes, sir. Guilt flooded me next. After I tromped into the house and apologized to Ma, that was the end of it. My parents never spoke of it again. Never took me to task. Somehow they knew that the ass-ripping I was giving myself was worse than any they could deliver. They were right, as my folks usually are. As I lean up against the cool concrete wall of this cell, my hat pulled down low, all I can think about is how deep this is going to cut Ma when she hears it. She'll know it's not true because I'd never hit a woman, but some people in our small town won't be so kind about it. She's been a target more than once because of my antics, and that's part of the reason I've tried to clean up my act. I can imagine those catty women whispering about it behind her back. She'll say she doesn't care, but I still hate that I put her in this position, especially over something I clearly didn't do. This is so insane. I'm still reeling from the charges. It isn't the first time someone has accused me of something, thinking I would be an easy target, more likely to pay them off than create a big stink that could affect my reputation. But those people don't know me. I've shown up at more than one person's house or apartment asking them to explain how some of the stuff they've accused me of could have happened. I always make sure it's recorded, too, just so I have something to show the cops. Turns out that a lot of people who think they're going to get rich quick off me don't have the balls to lie to my face. I'm hoping like hell this is going to be the same kind of situation. The media is going to crucify me if I can't get Brandy to drop the charges and issue a public statement pretty fucking quick. Even then, it might already be too late. Regardless, I'll be vindicated. I'd never put my hands on a woman in anger, and that lying bitch knows it's true. I don't care that she's Ripley's cousin. She's going down for filing a false police report at the very least. I have a hard time believing Ripley will argue with that, because from what I've seen, Brandy sure doesn't treat her like any kind of family I've ever had. And fuck, Ripley. She's stuck at my place, not sure what the hell is going on. I feel like shit that I couldn't take the time to explain, but I wasn't about to drag her outside with the cops and let some asshole with a long lens get a picture of her caught up in this mess. Those friggin' paparazzi are like some unholy combination of cockroach and vulture lately, scuttling out of nowhere and picking at the bones until there's nothing left. Like I told Ripley, my privacy is what I miss the most, and I miss it even more now that she's in my life. If she's in my life much longer. No, there's no way she'll believe Brandy's accusation. But it's Brandy's word against mine, and she's the one with the wicked shiner, according to the pictures the cops shoved in my face. They didn't care that I said I didn't touch her, just told me to tell it to the judge. They were the second type of cop you run into in Nashville. Type one being the kind who will usually let things slide if you're a celebrity. Type two is the hard ass who wants to make sure you're not getting any special treatment at all due to your status. I don't usually care either way, but this time it's bullshit. Thrasher, you're sprung, a guard's voice calls out as he walks down the hall to slide the cell door open. Thank fuck. I don't know what strings my agent and my lawyer had to pull, and I don't care how much it cost me, but I'm glad to be walking out of here. At least I am until I hit the lobby and see the cameras flashing in the direction of the woman waiting for me. As I step through the door, she runs and throws herself into my arms. I came as fast as I could, baby. Everything's going to be just fine now. I'm stunned and motionless as Amber plants her lips on mine.
5. No way in. Hell. That's what I told Law when he said that Boone has been charged with assault and battery by my own damned cousin. When I whispered, I'm going to kill her, Law stopped me and said I'd better not say things like that because he'd be ethically bound to report it if he thought I was serious. I hung up on him. What the fuck is going on? Hope asks as she pulls into a parking space near her building. I don't know, but it sounds like a whole lot of crap to me. I fill her in on everything Law just told me. I'm of half a mind to go right back to the fishbowl and confront Brandy, but after her outright lying to the cops and then lying to me only 15 minutes ago, I know it's not going to do me any good. Worst case scenario, I end up in jail too because I actually beat the crap out of her. I know, in my heart of hearts, that Boone didn't touch her. And I have a way to prove it. I need my laptop. Why? I hooked up a DIY security camera system in the bar a while ago because I wanted to figure out who was skimming from the till. I'm hoping the camera angles are going to be able to prove that Boone didn't touch Brandy. That's freaking brilliant! I shrug. It would have been even more brilliant if I'd updated my phone to download the app so I could watch the feed anywhere, but I never bothered after I saw it was obviously Brandy. Hope turns to me, an eyebrow raised. Why didn't you fire her ass or tell your dad? I knew it wouldn't matter. For some reason, she can do no wrong in his eyes. While you can do no right, she finishes for me. It's the sad truth, so I reach for the door handle instead of responding. As soon as we're in the apartment, I pull my laptop out of my stuff in the living room and log on to the website where my camera feeds run. They only back up for a few days at a time because I didn't have the cash to spring for a bajillion bytes of extra storage, but we were only there yesterday, so I should be able to see everything. I type the approximate time we got to the fishbowl into the search bar and wait for the video to populate. After I skip forward a little bit, the video shows the door swinging open and Boone walking inside. Hope leans over my shoulder to watch. I know this isn't the appropriate time or place for this observation, but he is one fine-as-hell man. It's on the tip of my tongue to say, and you haven't even seen him naked, when I realize I haven't seen him fully naked either. Not important, Ripley. First, you get his ass out of the jail cell your lying bitch of a cousin put him in, and then you get to see that ass naked. We both watch as the recording plays on the screen without sound. It's clear that Boone and Brandy have words, and I wish we could hear them. He looks pissed, Hope whispers, the concern in her voice coming through loud and clear. He would never hit her. To myself, I add, unless I've completely and totally misjudged him. No, I don't believe that. Not for a second. If you say so, I trust you. But she doesn't have to take my word for it, because we watch the rest of the recording, and it ends with Boone walking out of the bar without laying a finger on her. Hell, he even gave her money, which means we could argue that he bought and paid for Esteban. Not that she deserves another dime. That lying skank! Hope shoots up from her crouch behind me and paces. What are we going to do? I glance at my friend, with her hands balled into fists like she'd like to beat the crap out of Brandy herself. I need to tell Anthony. They have to get the recording to the police. Who is Anthony again? Boone's head of security. Okay, makes sense. Then what? Then Boone gets out of jail, and I figure out what I'm going to do about Brandy. She should be the one arrested. I'm not about to disagree with Hope on that one. It's a long, sleepless night, because even though I tried to contact Anthony, his phone went straight to voicemail and he never returned my messages. Same with Boone's, although that doesn't surprise me. It's not like they let you have cell phones in lockup. I toss and turn on the futon, wondering if the fancy partner law works for has managed to get Boone out yet, or whether he's going to be in there all night. He hasn't called me, so I'm assuming that means nothing good has happened. Unless he decides he's done with me because my crazy-ass cousin got him arrested. The shaft of pain that stabs through me at that thought almost takes my breath away. He wouldn't just never contact me again, right? No, of course not. I tell myself to settle down, but one thing can't be denied. I'm not ready to be done with him. That fact alone scares me because I've gotten more attached to Boone than I realized. He and I live in two different worlds, and just because we found some common ground doesn't mean that it's going anywhere. Except, isn't that what he said he wanted? To see where this goes? When sunlight streams through the cracks in the drapes, the sounds of Hope waking up filter through the small apartment. I hear her curse in the kitchen before she shuffles into the living room, a hand covering her mouth as she yawns. I totally forgot to get more coffee yesterday, so we're out. I'm gonna run down to the shop on the corner. You want some? After the sleepless night I had, I need an IV drip of caffeine. That sounds amazing. Caramel latte with an extra shot sound good? Heavenly. I'll be right back. You can take the first shower while I'm gone if you want. Thank you for being so awesome. I reach out and grab Hope's hand. That's what friends are for. She squeezes my fingers and presses a kiss to my head. After Hope shoves her feet into shoes and slips out of the apartment, I roll off the futon and check my phone for the 50th time, even though it hasn't made a sound. I head for the bathroom with it clutched in my hand. I have to get in touch with Anthony ASAP. If Boone is still in jail, it makes me sick to think about it. If I don't hear from Anthony within the hour, I'll go straight to the police myself to get Boone out. Decision made, I let the stream of water soak my hair as my mind drifts to Brandy and how she looked last night. I knew there was something screwed up about her caked-on makeup. It's not the first time I've seen Brandy use a load of concealer around her eye and cheekbone, but when I asked in the past, I'd get a lethal stare in return. I always assumed some shitty guy she hooked up with had smacked her around, and I couldn't help but pity her. She knew she always had a place to stay with me, but she didn't use it. I think that's why I waited so long to confront her about skimming from the till. Even though she's a pain in my ass and can make my life hell, I've always felt bad for Brandy. Her dad was never in the picture, and from the little she told me about how things were in Memphis, my aunt wasn't exactly mother of the year. Brandy showed up back in Nashville when she was 18, saying she needed a place to stay because Aunt Laurelin kicked her out and told her it was time to make her own way. What could we do but try to help her? She had no support other than Pop and me. She'd work at the bar for a few months until she lost interest, and then she would stop showing up and move in with some boyfriend and do something different for a while. Every damn time she came back, and Pop always made me give her a job. When we knew he wasn't moving back upstairs after his accident, he told me to let Brandy have the spare room. So I did. Whenever Brandy's life went sideways, I came to the rescue. And this is how she repays me. It shouldn't be such a shock. I was the only one expected to put family loyalty at the top of my priority list. But Brandy finally crossed a line that can't be uncrossed, and I'm done. I hurry through the rest of my shower, not wanting to use all the hot water, and I hear the door shut as Hope returns. Rip? I'm almost done. I shut off the water and grab the towel I tossed over the curtain rod. You're gonna want to see this. Her wary tone alerts me to the fact that something is definitely wrong. With water still beaded on my skin and dripping from my hair, I wrap the towel around myself and open the bathroom door. What's going on? She holds out her phone. The red banner across the top of the screen is the name of a gossip site that wants to be the next TMZ. I squint and step closer to read the headline of an article posted only a half hour ago. Boone Thrasher and Amber Fleet reunited. Beneath it is a picture of Amber wrapped around Boone like a spider monkey as she kisses him. What the fuck? I whisper.
6. An hour earlier. The door to the Escalade slams shut before the vehicle pulls away with Amber and me inside. Eyeing her like she's a viper poised to strike, I try to figure out what angle she's working. What the hell are you doing here? Amber shifts in her seat to face me, and it stuns the crap out of me that I was planning to ask her to marry me 9 days ago. What a dumbass. Now when I look at her, everything comes off as manufactured, from her rhinoplastied nose to her collagen-injected lips. Saving your ass? What does it look like? It looks like you're trying to stage some kind of goddamned reconciliation, and you know that shit isn't happening. She rolls her eyes. You could be a little more grateful. I just dropped a pile of cash to bail you out of jail. You'll get your money back within the hour. Where the fuck did you come from, and where the hell is your husband? I emphasize the word husband, hoping she realizes just how frigging ridiculous it is that she showed up here. I don't have a husband. The marriage has already been dissolved. It was just a big misunderstanding. Remnants of the anger I felt when I first found out what Amber had done flare up. A misunderstanding. You call getting married a fucking misunderstanding? She waves a hand. You know I stayed in Vegas the day after my show for a meeting. Well, that meeting was with a big-shot Hollywood producer to talk about my acting career. And things got a little crazy. Crazy? Yeah, that's exactly what it was when I heard that my goddamned girlfriend was married. My temper kicks up another notch. He made promises, Boone. He swore he was going to get me a starring role in the next Ryan Gosling movie he's producing, and that's where things get fuzzy. I can't fucking wait to hear this. To her credit, Amber's cheeks turn pink. We went out, had some drinks, did some blow and some pills, and the next thing I know, we're at a wedding chapel, and he told me it was my big audition. All I had to do was walk down the aisle, and I'd be Hollywood's next big thing. So I did. Then I woke up the next morning with a ring on my finger, lying next to a guy I only vaguely remember, one I never would have touched without being seriously fucked up. I mean, God, you should have seen his receding hairline and tiny dick. The first thing I told him was I wanted the contract for my movie role, and that's when he told me it was already taken, and I'd have to build up to something that big. He lied to me. And what bothers her the most about this situation is that he lied to her. If I'd been carrying a single shred of regret for not trying to patch things up with Amber, it would have died right then. Luckily for me, I've already moved way the fuck on. Hell, I dodged a bullet. I would say you gotta be joking, but that's too sad not to be true. Sorry about your luck and your big splashy Hollywood career that ain't happening. Now tell me what was the point of coming here and making a big scene? Anything between us is dead, done, over. The flush of embarrassment fades from her cheeks as her eyes take on a calculating gleam. She stretches an arm out and lays her hand on my thigh. Oh, Boone, we're not even close to over. I need you now more than ever. The SUV drives away, leaving me at the corner near my agent's building. No way was I going to let the press follow Amber's SUV all the way to my place, and that's on top of the fact that I don't want to spend 30 minutes letting her explain why she thinks what she did was no big deal and how we can save each other by getting back together. Call me old-fashioned and a little bit country, but it's a big fucking deal. I wouldn't tie myself to Amber again if my balls were on fire and she was the only person who could put them out. I scan the street, hoping the press isn't on me already, and duck into the building. The security guard at the desk stands up when I walk in. Sir, he starts. I tip up the bill of my hat, and his eyes widen in recognition. Yeah, man, I'm not the one you're trying to keep out. There was a time years ago when he might have thrown me out for trying to get a meeting with an agent, but those days are over. I ride the elevator up to Nick's office, hoping like hell he's actually here. When the receptionist catches sight of me, she straightens in her seat. Mr. Thrasher, did you have an appointment? I don't recall. I ignore her and push right through the door that leads into the inner sanctum, Nick's slick corner office. She reaches for the phone, but I'm going to beat her there. Where the fuck were you? I don't bother with a greeting as I shove open his door. Inside, a young, skinny blonde who looks like she's more likely to be another wannabe Britney Spears than a country girl sits perched on the edge of the expensive leather chair. But then again, couldn't someone say that about Amber? That she would fit in better climbing the pop charts in L.A. than she does in Nashville's country scene? Nick sighs. I'm sorry, Jerrica. We'll have to continue this later. She rises to her pink pumps with a smile aimed in my direction. Another Barbie look-like. Perfect. Just what this town needs. Once she's out of the office, I stride to the window and look out over the city I love. Music City, where I belong. When I spin around, I toss another question at Nick since he hasn't answered my first. Where were you? Did you know she was coming? Nick lowers himself back into his fancy leather chair after letting the blonde out and crosses his arms. I'd be a little more concerned about the charges than your girlfriend picking you up. Ex-girlfriend, I growl through gritted teeth. Ex-girlfriend, he says, correcting himself. But you know, it's worth pointing out that if you were still with Amber and had never gotten mixed up with this Ripley girl, none of this would have happened. I told you to stay away from her. Keep a low profile, but you didn't listen. You gonna listen now? Because putting some distance between you two would be the best thing for you. Are you shitting me? You want to put this all on Ripley? Her cousin got you thrown in jail. Because she's a bitch with an axe to grind. I didn't touch her. I believe you, Boone. Trust me, I do. But right now, Charity is fielding calls from dozens of people wanting details. You're a role model for a lot of kids, and when word travels about this, your reputation is going to take a huge hit. The best thing is to find something to divert the attention while we sort this out. He pauses before leaning forward on his desk. Have you considered the possibility of reconciling with Amber? People love seeing you together. It was a fairy tale they could get behind. I can't believe the words coming out of his mouth. Are you fucking kidding me? Instead of the press thinking I'm a woman beater, you want them to think I'm a doormat who lets his girlfriend marry and fuck another guy before taking her back? Look, I know it sounds bad, but no. Not fucking happening, and if you suggest it again, we're done. Now I gotta get my financial manager on the phone and make sure he wires Amber's account with whatever she laid out for my bond. Unless you've got something useful to say, I'm gonna go wait in another office for my ride.
7. I've trolled way more gossip sites in the last hour and a half than I'll ever admit, torturing myself by reading articles about Amber and Boone being back together. Of course this would happen to me. I should have known better. Why did I think I was special? I'm such an idiot. He didn't even need my help getting out of jail. Yeah, so positive self-talk isn't exactly my strong suit, but when you're constantly getting smacked down by life, It makes you realize that some things are better left alone. I should have known that having any kind of relationship with someone like Boone was a joke from the beginning. Why did I even let myself start to think? Hope comes out of the bathroom, leaving a cloud of hairspray behind her.
Babe, I gotta get to the bar for a meeting and to train a couple new people. Are you sure you want to come in tonight? Is your ankle really feeling okay?
I look up at her from my sprawled position on the futon where I've been throwing my pity party and toss my phone on the coffee table. One good thing in my life, I have an awesome friend. You know I love you, right? She tilts her head to the left, but her hair doesn't move, courtesy of the hairspray, which makes me think of Pearl and her Aquanet with a stab of nostalgia.
Are you drunk? Because you can't come to work if you're already—
No, I'm not drunk. I'm just telling you how much I appreciate you, and how lucky I am to have you. Thank you for everything you've done. Even when I'm swirling down the drain in an avalanche of shit, you're right there throwing me a lifeline. Hope crosses the room and leans down to hug me.
You weren't swirling the drain, girl. You were staging a prison break.
She stands straight again and looks me in the eye. You've been trapped for so damn long that you don't have any idea what it's like to be free to think about doing anything but working like a slave at the fishbowl.
Maybe you should take some time away from the tabloid shit and think about what you want. You could go to school, get a certificate of some kind, or just get a different job.
Hope's words kickstart my brain in a way that's almost too overwhelming. Working at the fishbowl, and now the White Horse, is all I've ever known, and thinking about anything else is a hair away from terrifying. My best friend must read my fear all over my face.
Look, you don't have to decide right now. The job at the White Horse is yours for as long as you need it, but I really think you should take this chance to figure out what you really want to do.
I'll think about it. I force a smile to my lips. But seriously, you said it. Working behind a bar is all I know. I understand the rhythm and the flow. It's easy and feels like home to me. Anything else is really hard to imagine.
Take a couple hours. You don't have to be in until 6. Open mic night starts at 8, so you might want to bring your earplugs because some of those poor bastards are terrible.
She glances up at the ceiling.
But thank God for autotune, because that means record labels don't need artists to have a decent voice if they're marketable. Anyhow, you good driving your car tonight, too?
My Javelin has been parked on the street near Hope's place since the day I quit the fishbowl.
Yep, no problem. I can drive. Thank you for everything, Hope.
Love you, girl.
Love you more.
As soon as the door shuts behind her, I lift my feet onto the futon and wrap my arms around my knees. What do I want to do? Hell, what do I like to do? Who do I want to be? It's sad I don't have answers to any of those questions. In a rare moment of solitude, I let my mind wander. It goes straight to Boone, and I want to kick my own ass. I know tabloid pictures can skew the facts of what really happened, and there's a good chance that Boone didn't do a damn thing wrong, but it still cuts deep to see Amber Fleet wrapped around him like she has every right to be there. Why am I even surprised? The moment one thing starts going right in my life, of course it's bound to go down in flames in a morbidly spectacular fashion. Ripley Fisher doesn't get to have the fairy tale. I'm just a homeless girl with a dead mom, a lying bitch of a cousin, and a dad who'd just as soon slap me around as crack open a beer. My life is never going to be one of those inspiring stories. It's just the same as it has always been. One step above shit. I don't know why I thought this thing with Boone would be any different. It's over. Now the only thing left to do is to clean up the mess that dragging my shit into his life caused. But even if it's over, I have to clear Boone of the charges Brandy brought. Maybe he didn't need my help getting out of jail, but that doesn't mean the security feed isn't going to help him get free of this crap. Then I can walk away with a clean conscience and forget this whole thing ever happened. Or just remember it late at night while I'm wishing my life was different. First things first. I need to spend more time going over the feed from the morning Boone and I went to the bar to see if there's anything else that could possibly help get Brandy's trumped-up charges thrown out. If Anthony doesn't get back to me, I have to take it to the police for evidence and hope they take me seriously. More than anything, I'm worried it'll get lost in the process, and the right people won't see it, and Boone won't be exonerated. Or you could put your big girl panties on and just give it to Boone so he can get it to the right people. I know exactly what I'm trying to do. Avoiding facing him, knowing that he and Amber are back together and I have no right to touch him. The thought burns, and I swallow back the lump in my throat before straightening my shoulders. That's exactly what I need to do. Maybe it'll kill any feelings I have for him and I can move on with my life. I can do this. Who cares if it's going to be awkward as shit, especially if Amber Fleet is still trying to surgically attach herself to him. I hate the jealousy that eats through my veins like acid. He's not mine. I have no claim on him, and I never will, so stop it. Focus on things that matter. Like, who hit Brandy? My best guess is that she really was hiding a bruise under that makeup, because I have a hard time believing the cops would have hauled someone like Boone off to jail like that without serious proof. I flip open the laptop and decide that while I'm considering what to do with my sad story of a life, I'll watch more video footage. I'm 20 minutes in, watching the camera feeds at 5 times the normal speed. Brandy has been in the office for almost 10 minutes, searching high and low, and I'll give you one guess what she's looking for. That ring of Boone's I've been meaning to give back. She'll never find it, though. Finally, someone else steps into the bar. Brandy bolts from the little back room so fast, you'd have thought her ass was on fire. Oh, God. Please, no. I can't watch this. My stomach twists and cramps with each passing second as the feed plays on, and sinks to my feet as I watch a hand fling out and catch Brandy's face high on her cheekbone. Oh, shit. I can feel the smack like it landed on my own face. Brandy shrinks back again like she's expecting another blow, but it doesn't come. Finally, she's alone, leaning on the bar, her head bowed and shoulders shaking. I flip the laptop lid closed, the sick feeling twisting in my gut even stronger. How am I going to turn this in? I don't have a choice. I have to. If there was any choice at salvaging what Boone and I were building, it's gone. Brandy made sure of it. It was never going to last, especially not with the odds stacked against us. My eyes burn with tears that I refuse to let fall. Stop it, Ripley. You could never have him anyway. It's not like you can lose something that wasn't yours to begin with. And he wasn't. Won't be. Ever. Now more than ever, I want to go straight to the cops so I don't have to face Boone and admit why he was arrested, but I talk myself out of it. I might be the unluckiest girl in Nashville, but I still have a backbone. I'm a coward if I don't face him and give him the evidence he needs to be vindicated. Then the world will have its proof that Boone didn't do what Brandy said he did. And in doing so, I'm doing the unthinkable. I stand and straighten my shoulders, tight from being hunched over while watching the tape. I don't have another choice. This is the only one I can make and still live with myself. Boone doesn't deserve to suffer for my family's problems. No. He deserves the best life has to offer. And we all know that isn't Ripley Fisher.
8. Anthony and I are turning down the driveway at my place, trying to come up with a strategy based on all the shit the lawyers have told me when he slams on the brakes to avoid running into a rusted Javelin parked in front of the gate. What the hell? Anthony says. It's Ripley. Let her in. No shit. Anthony hits a remote hooked to the visor and the gate swings open. He gives the horn a double tap, indicating that she should go first, and Ripley's car lurches forward in a way that makes me think her transmission is about to die. Logan Brantley could make that car purr like a kitten and growl like a bitch, just like he did for my 442. We follow Ripley up the drive, and she parks off to the side of the garage when Anthony pulls inside. I'm out of the SUV in less than 2 seconds. After the pictures of Amber and me hit the internet, I knew there was a chance Ripley might bail. Most people don't stop to ask questions with that shit. They just jump to conclusions and assume the worst. But not my girl. She's better than that. I catch sight of her as she climbs out of the Javelin and shuts the door. Maybe I'm wrong. Her face is pale and drawn, and the dark circles under her eyes tell me she didn't sleep last night. Maybe she was worried about me. I told her to stay at my place, but obviously she didn't, and now she looks like she'd rather be anywhere else. But Ripley's not looking at me. She's looking at the SUV behind me, as if expecting someone else to follow. She glances at the ground and then back to the car door again, and that's when it hits me. She's waiting for Amber to get out. Just you and me and Anthony, sugar, I say, answering her unspoken question. I know she wants to ask where Amber is, but I'm way more interested in what brought Ripley to my gate if she expected to find me back with my ex. She's not spitting fire, so an ass ripping doesn't appear to be the answer. Still, she doesn't speak, and standing 20 feet away from her while she's hugging something to her chest and looking broken and lost is more than I can take. I cross the pavement and am about to pull her into my arms when she holds something out in front of her like a shield.